Hi everyone, this is Yara Stark. I've just hit the mute button, so only myself and Gideon are currently live. The call is now being recorded, so welcome to our group mastermind coaching call. This will be for Become a Blogger Premium, Blog Mastermind, and Membership Site Mastermind, as well as any other VIPs who have joined us. You are welcome to ask any questions relating to blogging, internet marketing, membership sites, general fields of mindset and growing your business, entrepreneurship, and so forth. And we'll do our best to give you the best answer we can, given the question. As Gideon talked about before, the chat room was down for us, the service that we were using prior. So we're just going back to the service we had used for the first time we originally started these group coaching calls, Yaplit. Now, we don't know, the reason why we moved away from Yaplit was because it was causing some issues with the audio. So we're going to see what happens now. It looks like they've changed the system again. If you haven't got the chat room loaded, if you go to the teleconferences page at entrepreneurs-journey.com/teleconferences, you may need to refresh that page or reload that page if you had it open for a while, as I've only just changed the link in that page to the live chat. So once you're there, you'll see a live chat little yellow box. You click that link and it will reload or open up a new window of the same page, but a sidebar on the right will show up with the chat room. And I can already see we've got about 13 people in there. So I think most of you have figured it out and it seems like it's working. So fingers crossed we can continue to use that for the rest of the call. Bear in mind, everyone, the chat room is only for you guys to interact and report back any issues you might be having with the technology. Please save your questions for the live Q&A so we can speak to you personally and help you that way. It's just more interactive. But we do encourage you to make use of that chat room to help each other. So if you want further clarification or you've got some extra points to add to what we're talking about on the live call, don't be afraid to type it in the chat room. I know everyone appreciates the extra help. So that's that. The other thing, since this call is being recorded, the usual rules apply. If you're not comfortable having your name in public, just bear in mind it will be redistributed to other people in our programs as a recording and possibly a transcript too. So these are recorded and they do go public. So just bear that in mind. But we encourage you to use your name and definitely say your website address, your blog address, when you get your chance to ask a question live, as it's a good little bit of promotion for your site that will exist forever, or at least almost forever, within our recordings on the archive section of our site. So there's a little bit of traffic you might get streaming from that. I think that's everything. Gideon, thank you for joining me again.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
I'm going to go through the instructions for everyone who's new to our calls. What we're currently using is a system called High Def Conferencing. That's HIDEFconferencing.com, which is a teleconference service that allows us to take your questions through what's called a lecture mode. So we have a control panel we can see, and it lists every person either by a number or a Skype name that's currently phoned into this call. And you all have little icons next to you, and one of them is a hand. Now, you can raise your hand once lecture mode starts by pressing the star 9 key. So I'm just going to switch it over to lecture mode now so we can actually get that going. So give me 2 seconds. Okay, so hand raising is now on. That means you can press the star 9 key on your Skype pad or on your telephone dial pad, and little icon next to your name will go live on my control panel. And one by one, I'll click the icon. And when it's your turn, your icon is clicked, you'll be prompted that you're live. And you can just say hello and ask a question, and we can speak directly to you. So we'll get started with that. I also have one question from the forum, which we can attend to once we've done some live questions. And I guess I should mention this will be the last call for 2009 as well. So thank you all for joining us this close to the end of the year and the holiday season. And let's get started. Okay.
Hi, Yaro and Gideon. This is Lori.
Hi, Lori.
Hi, Lori.
I have a couple questions. I'll first start with you, Yaro, and the membership model. I understand that there's, you know, different types where, you know, some people offer membership models where it's $10 a month and they just do a few teleseminars. And I know, you know, to become a blogger is $47 a month for 6 months. So what I want your opinion on is I do like the fact that you have, you know, a 6-month type thing, you know, for $47 and then it's a lifetime, but I don't like the work it takes to do, you know, the continual product launches, you know, twice a year. Do you think that that could be converted to a situation where some, you know, people can join any time and they just get the videos starting with whatever month they join a program and just have it, you know, instead of doing launches, they could just join any time of the year?
Yeah, there's there's many ways to do this, and a lot of it depends on the type of content you're producing. I mean, I could have, for Blog Mastermind and for Become a Blogger, we could have just continued to produce more content forever. Well, not forever, but for as long as we wanted to do it, and keep charging a monthly fee and not have an end date on the program. And people could join at the beginning, and then thanks to the autoresponder, they can go through each lesson or each tutorial or whatever on a basis where they start from the beginning and move their way at their own pace to whatever, you know, they're up to. And that could go for as long as we want to produce content and as long as they want to keep paying for it. So that's what you'll find a lot of membership sites do, that especially if the content is timeless, in the sense that, you know, there's not really a start or an end point. That, I mean, all subjects you really can talk about forever if you really had to, but some make more sense than others. And certainly, like a membership site based on a subscription service can go forever as well. Like, you know, we pay money for AWeber, we pay money for web hosting ongoing. But, you know, membership site mastermind tends to focus more on information products. So I don't know if you remember, Leslie, I explained how in my first launch of Blog Mastermind, I didn't have an end date. And my intentions were to see, ideally, to keep people in the program for 12 months and produce content for 12 months. I discovered, though, after the first couple of months of running the program that, I didn't want to produce content for 12 months. It was getting quite tough just doing something weekly as well as writing my blog, et cetera. And I also noticed a high attrition rate because people were leaving the program because they didn't know when it would end. And they said, well, I don't know when it's going to end. I don't want to keep paying now. I'm going to quit. So it was actually to our advantage to make that into a 6-month program because it much improved the attrition rate. It dropped the attrition rate quite significantly because people then saw an end date and they saw it as a course they could start and finish. So, you know, what I suggest you do is consider, if you don't want to keep doing launches, that's fine. What will, the difference there is you still need to find some form of ongoing marketing process to keep bringing in new members. We've found that doing a launch has been by far and away the most significant marketing tool in terms of results. We just get more members doing a launch. However, you can set up a system where your product's always available for sale, doesn't open and close. You've got an email sequence and your free report and some kind of traffic, maybe from a blog or maybe from pay-per-click, that keeps bringing new eyeballs to that content and keeps bringing in new members. In fact, Blog Mastermind has been running very much like that for this entire year. I haven't been launching it. It's been available for people to join at any time. And when they do join, they start at the beginning in lesson one and then can move through to lesson 27 1 week at a time over 6 months. So, and I've had a steady stream of sales. It hasn't been nearly as successful in terms of sales as the launches I did for Blog Mastermind for the first few times, but it's still an income stream, and I don't have to do, like you said, the work of a launch. It is, I guess you'd call it a passive income source in that regard. So this is the way I see the best strategy, and I think we found this has been working quite effectively for all of our sites, is to go through the launch process at least once, maybe twice, for the first time you launch the program, simply because of how effective it is, and then have some sort of scarcity play, whether it's a price increase or you're closing the doors or you're taking away some bonuses or all of those things. And then just let the program either close and then reopen it with another launch, or maybe you increase the price and just leave it open at the higher price so you can do the launch and you can also leave it open for ongoing sales. But it's really up to you and how much work you want to do, what the type of content you're producing is, what the goal of your offer is, like what are you trying to help people become? And that ties into how long they want to study, how much information there is to study, and how much information you want to personally create as well. So unfortunately, I can't give you a do this answer, but there's a lot of ways you can do this.
No, that's good, because I do understand, and I read, you know, most of the membership site report you put out, that, you know, you definitely, it makes sense to end it in 6 months, but I was thinking in a hybrid version where, you know, at any time someone joins, they still, it still ends in 6 months as far as their payments, but what's continual is that they'll have access to these teleseminars and to the forum, which doesn't add any more work to you. So it's in a sense doing the same thing, to where if someone joined this month or in 6 months, they still stop paying 6 months after that date, you know, no matter what, without, but you never close it off to people, I guess.
Right. Yeah. And that's what you can do. You can keep it open forever. And I mean, right now, that's what Blog Mastermind is. It's open. People get access to these calls. They pay for 6 months, or they pay all up the front, upfront fee once, and that's it. So we could keep charging a monthly fee. Like, for example, we could say, if you want to keep accessing our phone calls and have ongoing access to the content, then you have to keep paying a membership fee. And there's all kinds of different ways to do it. And we chose to keep our content available to people after they made all their payments on, a permanent basis, or as long as we're in charge of our business. And that's proven to be a really big selling point, too. So you do need to see what people respond to. We've had a lot of people say, I'm going to join now, even though I may not actually study it now, because I know I got lifetime access and I'm going to start it in the new year. And that's really powerful, especially when you have a closing down sort of scarcity, because they might be fence sitting because they don't want to join now because they're not ready to study the materials. And they're worried if they join now, then they'll only have access for 6 months and then it'll be gone. But if it's a permanent access thing, then they can join now and study it when they want to. So actually, they won't fence it. They'll make the purchase. So all kinds of, you know, psychological triggers happening in the background there that you need to consider when you're going through this process.
No, that's really a good one too, because I mean, just like me, I couldn't dive in the moment I joined. And another thing, since, you know, a big selling point really with this program is the fact that we could talk to you live, as I'm doing now with the teleseminars. But I'm just wondering, because that's definitely a feature I want when I decide to do a membership site. Do you and Gideon ever feel like, okay, when is that? Will you be doing this forever? I mean, are you committed to literally? I mean, because one thing about the internet is so flash in the pan, but with the membership site, are people really thinking, like, in 4 years, are you and Gideon every single month going to sit live? I mean,
well, you know, I guess it's not realistic for anyone to say they're going to do anything forever. And I have to announce, this will be our last call we're ever doing. No, it's not. But the way we see it, I think I can speak for Gideon on this one as well. These calls are really great for us, too. We get the best information about what you guys are struggling with the most. By doing these live calls, it keeps us, I guess, having a finger on the pulse of our market. So it's really beneficial to keep doing them. I don't think we'll do them forever. Obviously, we'll both move on to other projects we want to focus energy on, and we'll have to adjust the offer accordingly when that happens. But one call or two calls a month at the moment is fine, and it's fun. So we're going to keep doing them, at least for 2010, I could say, for sure. But yeah, you keep reassessing as you're going along.
Yeah, it just scares me a little bit that, you know, I make an offer saying, okay, we have lifetime access to this call, and then what happens in 3 years, you know, to that customer when I can't do it? I just want to make sure there's
Yeah, don't lie. Don't say you're going to have lifetime access to our calls, which we intend to do forever. You know, you're going to have lifetime access to the materials, and we're going to do calls for as long as, you know, we're going to do calls for. So, you know, tell them we intend to do calls for this period of time. And don't forget, bear this in mind, this is pretty important. Most members won't actually participate in the calls. I know it sounds strange, but the people who are currently listening to this call and going to ask questions, you're in a minority, a very small minority of active people. So, and then you're gone too. So Leslie, you're probably not going to join every call we're going to do for the next, you know, 10 months, 12 months. Only a very, very small group of people do that. A lot of people move on. They start, you know, they're focusing on their projects. They don't need help anymore. It's just the case of everyone's in a different place and wants something different. So just be comfortable with the offer you're making, but bear in mind that there's not a lot of people you're actually impacting in most situations.
Okay. And then my very last question is for Gideon, with the videos, you know, you have very sophisticated, lovely videos that we all wish we could have. And you're able, because you're expert in it, be able to produce those quickly. So I guess my issue is I can't produce the number of videos, and definitely not at the quality that you have right now. So how do you reconcile what videos that you put on YouTube that are free and which ones that you save for some of your membership programs with the Magic Live?
Good question. We've had that question a few times now, and I think it always keeps on coming back to the same thing. You know, there's always more content and more detail that you can add to information. And Gary Vaynerchuk, he's really extreme in this. He's if you haven't heard of him, he's a social media guru. He's probably the leading social media man in the world at the moment, or one of the top 10 guys. And, you know, he talks about giving absolutely everything away for free. You know, he said, you know, give your whole, if you've got a membership site, give it all away for free. Now, I haven't tested that myself, and I'm not sure if it's 100% the way to go, but I do believe in definitely moving the free line as much as you can, and giving people really valuable content, but still leaving enough behind the scenes so that you can charge money for it. Now, for Free Magic Live, what we're doing there is we have two different levels of magic tricks that we teach. The one level is basically tricks that you can learn anywhere, and that's a lot of them already on the internet anyway, on YouTube and other sites. But I guess what we do with them is we make them more entertaining, and you know, we put our own spin on it. Well, you know, when JJ does the performance, he puts his own personality on it, or his own routine, or whatever. So it makes it a little bit special, but it's essentially the same information, just rehashed. And then for the membership content, we leave the more advanced stuff, you know, the more sleight of hand things that requires a deeper understanding, a deeper level of practice, and we add more examples, and we add more case studies, and we add more detail. So instead of just doing a 1 minute video that talks about a certain special move, we would take 15 minutes to explain that same move, and then we go into detail. You know, we say, this is where you have to hold your fingers exactly, you know, and this is a variation of doing the move that will give you this result, and this is a different angle that you can use towards your audience. So, you know, and if we want to, we could go even further and create an hour-long video of that same move, where we then go out into the street and say, okay, this is now the same move, but this is now, we're going to perform this now live in front of people. And then, you know, we could record that. And then over the recording, we could have a voiceover and talk about what actually happened during the video, and how people responded, and what JJ did to get people to respond, and how he modified the move. You know, so you can see, you can just keep on adding more information. And for those deeper levels, that's what we keep for the membership content. So don't be afraid. Like Yara was saying, this with any niche, seriously, we haven't come across a niche yet where we can't create content for it pretty much forever. there's always deeper and deeper layers.
Because I guess with you, with the video, I definitely understand it's easy to produce written content and audio, but I think with video, you know, I don't have a Gideon on my team, so I can't produce the number of videos that you can. So I'm just trying to make sure before I hop on YouTube that I'm able to really have, you know, enough content to even have for free. Because, I mean, as much as I want to get into video, it's just a harder thing to do. And it's something I need to look at in my business. Do I need to set aside some money or to hire someone to help be able to do that component?
Yeah, it is a tricky one. Video is definitely more challenging. There's no doubt about that. But if you can get it right, it can be your point of difference compared to everyone else. Because let's face it, because it is harder, less people do it, less people get into it. So that gives you a competitive advantage. It gives you a huge competitive advantage. So if you can either train yourself to do it, or get someone else to do it for you, that gives you a massive advantage. And a lot of people don't realize this. And I think that's one of the reasons why Free Magic Live is doing so well, because we're competing essentially against a whole bunch of other teenagers with just their little webcam or something and doing little tricks in their bedroom. You know, we actually grab a little camera and we just go out into the street and do proper recordings. And that sets us apart from everyone else. But I would like to say that, you know, there are ways of creating videos, really good quality videos, that's not difficult at all. That's very easy to do, and you don't even need a camera for it. Now, Laurie, I'm not sure if you have seen screener.com. It's basically the word screen with an R at the end and then .com. That, to me, it's great. It's awesome because it allows you to create videos very, very quickly, basically of moving screenshots of your computer screen while you talk on a microphone. And it does all the it stores the video for you on their server. You can upload it to YouTube from there. You can even, well, it's linked to your Twitter account. And seriously, if you can, all you need to do is you can either create some slides beforehand, or you can just simply talk about your, you know, anything that you can see on your screen. And, you know, it's very easy to create videos using that method. So I think that's a great way to get started with online video, because you don't even need a webcam. All you need is your computer. You need an internet connection and you need a good microphone. And seriously, you can create your first video in 10 minutes time. It's that easy.
Okay. Well, thank you both.
Yeah, I'll check it out. I'll put that link in the chat room for Screener. It's my favorite easy video creation resource at the moment.
I really like the fact that you have a video camera at a scene. I think that really is the differentiator for your Magic Live.
Makes a difference. And, you know, the other thing you can think about, and this is, you know, I haven't been present at all those recordings. I was there at the beginning, but then as we progressed, we started hiring a video guy. And he does all the recording and all the editing for us. And, you know, that particular guy we managed to get for a fairly decent price, because we were able to do something. We helped him in another way. But, you know, what we're looking at next is to find like a student who is a lot, a lot more affordable to hire. And, you know, for YouTube, we don't need all 100% fancy type videos. So if you look at our videos, especially the latest ones, they're really simple. It's really just a cameraman. It is good at taking videos and the editing. I mean, the hardest part of the editing is just having a fade in screen at the start and a fade out screen at the end. That's pretty much it. And cutting out the bits that we don't want. So, you can grab a student or even a friend of yours if they've got a camera, and just get them to do the recording and editing for you, and it can be very, very affordable. So you don't have to go all professional. That's something people don't realize. You don't have to go all professional. I mean, I'm not a qualified videographer or anything like that, and you can see the videos I've done. They look pretty good. And because it's only YouTube, the requirements are not as stringent. You know, you can get away with videos that are just nice and simple and short and easy to watch. So don't let it hold you back too much. But my suggestion is to just get started with something like screener.com. Just get used to getting videos on your website and on YouTube and getting that experience, and then build from that. And, if video is not your thing, then stick to text and audio. But I do think video will definitely give you a competitive advantage.
Okay. Well, thank you both. I'll definitely look into that.
Okay, great.
Thanks, Leslie. Okay, I'm going to move on to the next caller.
Yeah, Gideon or Yaro, either one of you. On my side, I'm into this social media right now. It's Happy Shirts Online, or Happy Maker Online, my first site that didn't work was the other one. Anyway, and I'm finding I'm pulled with this, that, and everything and trying to keep up. Which one do I need to concentrate to build my list with the social media?
What's your address again?
HappyMakerNow.com.
HappyMakerNow, okay.
Yeah, I liked your blog on your happiness, Jarl. That was good,
Thank
too.
Thank you. All right, I'm just loading your site so I can see it. Okay. All right, so I think we both have opinions on this in terms of social media. I can tell you Gideon will just say YouTube straight away because he's a fanboy. But
what I'm working on that is I've got a little granddaughter that's a year and a half that can really dance, and I was going to try to make a happy video of her dancing.
Nice. Kids are very popular on YouTube. They get a lot of views. Especially dancing kids.
Pardon me?
Especially dancing kids, if they can do some cool moves.
Oh, this little one can really move, I'll tell you. But anyway, I've been using, you know, trying to do the stumble upon the Twitter, the Ensign articles, guest posting, and I'm just finding myself just pulled in every direction trying to keep up with all of this. And if I could just have one or two directions to kind of concentrate on for a while.
Which one of those is working best for you so far, or are you feeling most comfortable with?
Well, the Twitter, I've found that list of words to use, the tweetable words and phrases, that seems to work. The stumble upon works. I'm not real familiar with. I haven't figured it all out yet. I do have one guy that actually has signed up for your program, and when he stumbles me, then it seems like I'm getting a lot of hits.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The Ensign articles, I've submitted those, and I'm not, you know, I'm kind of comfortable with them because I only had one that they rejected that I had to fix.
Okay. Well, just to clarify, with social media, in most situations, it's better to pick one or two and just devote most of your energy there. That's what Gideon did with YouTube for Free Magic Live. That's what I've seen. I remember Caroline Middlebrook focused on StumbleUpon for her blog, and you know that worked really well because she established a profile, built up a lot of credibility and trust within the StumbleUpon community and the tool there. So whenever she stumbled things, she drove a lot of traffic. But that takes time to build up. That's why it's better to focus on one thing. And Ensign articles definitely is something where you're not going to notice a significant result until you've got, you know, 150 to 100 articles in that system. So everything here is more about laser-focused concentration on one or two things rather than haphazardly, you know, hitting everything with a little, because you just won't get traction with only a little bit in each area. So with the strategy we've always recommended to everyone, you have your what we call it the hub and spoke model. So you've got your hub, your center point, where you're capturing your email list, where you're getting subscribers to your RSS feed. That's usually the blog. That's, of course, what we do, and we recommend the blog is the hub for you, and that gets people to your content, to your site, to your email list, and you have that permanent connection with them to build a relationship. The spokes are all the different social media tools. So yes, you can use StumbleUpon, you can use Twitter, you can use Ensign articles, you can use YouTube, and there's hundreds more of them. All I use personally is Twitter and Facebook, but it's not really fair for me to tell you that that's the best way for you to go, because I use Facebook as an actual friendship tool more often than not. So it's really for networking with my friends, as it was intended to be, not so much a marketing tool. Twitter has become a fantastic marketing tool, but the cause and effect relationship there is a little bit mixed up. I have a lot of Twitter followers because I have a lot of blog followers. So I was able to build my Twitter following because I had status there. And that means, you know, it doesn't mean you can't do the same thing. Like, Twitter's a great tool that you could go out there and make a lot of friends, follow a lot of people, build relationships with. But that's no different from doing it with YouTube or doing it with StumbleUpon. It's wherever you want to spend the most energy on. So That's why I said Gideon's going to say, you know, spend your time on creating fantastic videos and you will get a nice steady stream of traffic coming from YouTube. That's, as long as they've got value in them, that's almost like a guarantee. You know, I'm going to tell you, focus on your blog content first and really nail that. And then, you know, pick one thing that you would test each week. You know, write a guest article for another blog. Might be the first thing you want to test, or create a really great profile in a forum. I've got some of my best students. They don't really do a lot of social media. Their main traffic sources are continuing to write a great blog and participating in one really active forum and becoming a really good member in that forum. That's just the strategy they use. So, but the connection here, the thing that's the same across the board, whatever tool you're using, it's the amount of effort and energy and focus you put in that one tool to create value there that usually brings a reward. So that's the most important point. That's why I asked you what's your favorite one or what you're enjoying the most. You know, if you're liking eZine articles, maybe you should spend the next month building up 100 articles, or the next 2 or 3 months to get yourself to 100 articles there. And don't worry about everything else. Don't do StumbleUpon. You know, Twitter, you can sort of maintain. It's not that hard. It's 140 characters. So, but, you know, don't spend any other time doing much more than populating eZine articles, or spend it all on YouTube and just create videos of your funny children doing dances. And that could be a path forward. It's just a case of picking the best one.
Okay. Now on Twitter, when you do that, now what kind of comments do you make?
With Twitter? Well, see, Twitter for me is a reflection of my life. So I will just tweet whatever's going on. People follow me. It's almost like voyeurism, or just, you know, people follow me because I have a blog and they're interested in the subjects I write about, and they're interested in me consequently. So that's, like I said, the cause and effect there is a little bit different. In your case, you know, you're obviously talking about happiness. So you'd want to focus on tweeting things related to that, and then spending some time at maybe some forums on personal development, or I don't know, I haven't looked into the specific happiness area, but I think that's probably a little too top level generic. You'd want to focus on specific aspects of people, you know, like you've got couples I saw there, you've got children. So, you know, pick some specific area and find a forum on that area, or create videos on that area. And every time you create a new video, tweet it. You know, every time you write a great new blog post, tweet it. Anytime someone else tweets something really good, retweet it. And then the idea here is to get as many people as you can retweeting your content so you build up more followers. And that's just the same rule applies. If you've got valuable tweets in those very few 140 characters, or you're linking to great stuff on a consistent basis in your Twitter profile, more and more people will follow you. It's just a case of value. You get rewarded.
Okay, so what I say is when I make a new post, I just tweet that I made a new post on such and such?
That's something I do. I also tweet things I'm studying at the time, because that's often very popular. When you tweet someone else's good blog post, or someone else's good free report, or even just an interesting website, those sort of things get people you know, starting to take interest in you because you found something that they valued.
Okay. Super.
Okay.
I just need a little direction, because I was just kind of going here and there and everything and feel like I'm, you know, kind of spinning my wheels a little bit.
Yeah, that happens a lot with social media. It's an easy trap to fall into, because it's easy to do the basics in most tools, you know, just start using it here and there, but you won't get a lot of reward for that. So it is better to just pick one thing and get really good at that. That's why you don't see me doing much other than blogging. You won't see me using StumbleUpon. I don't use YouTube very much, although I probably should, because Gideon does it. And he does really well with it, so I have no excuse. But, and, you know, there's so many other areas I could spend time on that I just, for me, writing a newsletter and writing my email, writing my blog post just keeps things going. But you got to get momentum first.
Thank you so much, and you guys are really good.
Thanks. Problem.
I'll just add something to that, if I may.
What Gideon got to say about YouTube?
What's that?
What does Gideon have to say about YouTube?
Well, before I say anything about YouTube, I just want to echo what, you know, the question that Yaro asked at the beginning. You know, what is it that, I guess, appeals to you most? What is it that you find most enjoyable and that you're getting most results with? And I think once you figure out what that is, to just focus on that one thing and to become a real expert in that one thing. For me, for my case, it was definitely video. Video is something that appealed to me in a big way. I love everything about video. I mean, I love watching videos. I love creating videos, the creative component of it. And I love the interaction that I can get with people because of video. And that's why I love it so much. So not only do I love the outcome of doing video, but I also love the process. And I think that's really important. If you can get both of those right, if you can love the process of what you're doing, and you know, then I think the outcome, you'll love that in any case, but your outcome will be so much better. So, you know, I read a really amazing book quite a few years ago now. It was during my technology days, when I was in the high-tech startup industry. And there's a book called this book is called Crossing the Chasm by a chap called Jeffrey Moore. And he talked about how to get your product, your new product, into the early majority, which is the beginning of the mainstream. And that's where, you know, if you can get it into that mainstream, that's when you hit the big time. That's when your product goes viral and you hit the tipping point. Now, the way that he talked about of getting into that mainstream was to use what he called the beachhead strategy. And all it really meant was focusing on one massive player in the early majority. And instead of worrying about creating your message for a whole bunch of different people, he said, just focus your attention on this one big player and do everything you can do to get their attention and get them to use your product and get them to start talking about your product to the other people in the mainstream. And just once you've got that one big customer and that one big case study, you can start talking to everyone else in the mainstream, and they'll go, wow, this other big company is using it, must be good. So it gives you that social proof. There's a lot of theory behind it, but the whole concept of it was this tremendous focus on this one key player. And I've been using that same concept now in a number of different things that I've been doing online and other businesses that I've run. And the key concept there is focus. And I think if you can, you know, find something that you truly enjoy and just focus on it and become a real expert in it, that gives you a massive competitive advantage as well. In my case, at the moment, it's online video, and that's what I decided to focus on, and it's really paying off. YouTube is just one of many. YouTube happens to be, one of the top two sites in the world, and that's, another reason why I decided to go for it, because it's got this tremendous traffic there. But, there are other sites like that as well, eBay is another option. That's a total different strategy, but Twitter, there's a lot of traffic there. So it's a matter of what you enjoy and what you want to focus on and what you want to become an expert at. And if you can have that focus, that'll help you get to, in inverted commas, the mainstream of what you want to do. And it'll help you, get to that tipping point of what you want to do online.
Okay. Well, that helps a lot, because I would just, even when I'm doing my post, I feel like I'm limited on my time of how much I can write, because I got to go do this social media stuff and all that. And so, yeah, you guys put me online here. I'm good.
Yeah, awesome.
I thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. No problem.
If you see anything on my site I need to clean up my act on, just let me know.
Okay.
I'm going to try to put more humor in it instead of being so serious with this happy stuff.
Sounds good.
Thanks a lot, guys.
No problem. We'll speak to you soon.
No props.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to move on to a forum question from Anthony. He's saying, thanks for your last answer in a previous call. Taking recommendations on board, we have recently upgraded the software to our website and will in the next week or so be converting our number URLs to keyword-rich URLs. We will then monitor the effectiveness of this change and let you know how it goes. On another and more important issue, we are looking to monetize our site beyond what we have already done. Our website is www.sky.com. bluemajorca.com, and I'll just post that to the chat room, because spelling Mallorca is Mallorca. So here it is. All right, it's in the chat room, folks. And the question continues. At present, we have clients who pay us to profile their information on our website. We also have produced award-winning guidebooks, which we have sold from bookstores and from the website. We have also tried to sell a gourmet card to engage the visiting public, but in our case, this did not work. Can you think of any other way we can monetize visitors to our website? We have a membership site software built into our site, but are not sure if people will want to pay money to become a member of a food and wine website, especially since there's so much free information about the food and wine on the internet. I know we can survey our newsletter subscribers to find out more about what they would like, but before I do that, maybe you could make some suggestions as to what you think what may or may not work. Okay, so I just have to first say, it doesn't matter if there is tons and tons and tons of free information about food and wine, that doesn't necessarily mean you can't have a membership site about it, because you've always got the potential to position your offer, yourself, your credibility, your product, whatever it is, in a unique way that no one else can replicate on the internet, which will form a point of differentiation, which means you can get customers. So I don't know what's unique about what you talk about regarding food and wine, because it's not my area of expertise, or I don't even drink, so it's tough for me to judge the wine part of it. But I know there's definitely an angle you could take somewhere. It could be cooking with the type of food and wine from Mallorca. I don't know. You have a think about it, and there's always an avenue. And really, the best way is to actually ask your subscribers. That's why the newsletter is so effective. But just because you work in this industry and you know your customer base, you should have a general feel about why they come to your website. You know, that was fairly simple for me with the beginning of my project with blogging. I knew people were coming to me initially to find out how to make money from blogs. That's still the simplest basic answer to why do people want to study my materials. But it's not always simple like that. You know, Gideon, I'm sure, could talk about the difficulties in determining what exactly the magic trick audience wanted, what they will pay money for. So it's taken a bit of time there to figure out, was it children that were there looking for tricks, or was it adults looking to become magicians? Was it men looking to impress women, or vice versa with tricks? So there's different markets there that sometimes you need to clarify by doing things like surveys and asking those questions, or even just launching a product and seeing what happens. So, you know, the more clarification you can get about your market and why they even read your website and your blog in the first place, the closer you are to coming up with a profitable product. And that's the first answer to this question. Other options, of course, since you have a blog with pages, you've got tons of avenues for advertising. I don't know whether you're doing things like sponsored reviews, banners, sponsored videos. I see you've got videos there, so you could be putting up video advertisements, either adding them to your existing videos or doing basically advertorials. So get content from specific companies that want to promote to your audience and do videos about it. So maybe you'll get wine companies sponsoring you if you review their wine, or review a restaurant. You know, I don't know what exactly people come to your site for, but if they're coming there to perhaps find out about bed and breakfast available in Mallorca, then you could make a basically an advertising option where you go and review a bed and breakfast and write a review about it, and in return they sponsor your website or even pay money for the review. Obviously, you'd have to declare that you're doing that under the new FTC rulings. You need to declare the fact that you're getting paid to write something, or somehow be incentivized to write about something, but there's no reason why you can't do that. And I love advertising as a monetization option, because it's, if you do it right, it just makes money while you keep doing what you love, which is writing about the subject. So advertising on my blog is still the most consistent and easy money I ever make, because I want to write my blog and it keeps coming in. Affiliate products, of course, are an option as well. I don't know how good they are in food and wine and restaurants, but I'm sure there's something out there where you can sell access to those sorts of products and services and potentially get a kickback in affiliate payment. Travel, since you're talking about a certain destination, I'm sure you could sell tickets and hotels and accommodation to your area of the world under an affiliate arrangement. That's been an option for a long time. And of course, then there's products and services you can create and sell yourself. I'm not sure if you've ever thought of selling wine over the internet or if you already do, but that's obviously an option. Takes a bit more upfront commitment. There's product to stock. You might be able to find a drop shipper to do that, but there's so many options here. It's ridiculous. So it's tough for me to give you, you should definitely do this first. I like to think advertising is the easiest one to get started with. So if you're not testing advertising, maybe that's the first thing you should do and move your way up until launching your own product, your own membership site, maybe test some affiliate reviews and see what works. And of course, do that survey to your audience as well to find out the real reason why they're coming to your website. That's really powerful. Any other ideas, Gideon?
No, I think you've done a good job, Yara. Maybe just, just looking at the YouTube channel here, there's not heaps of views yet, so I'm assuming that you're not a YouTube partner yet. Once you become a YouTube partner, of course, then you get all sorts of other avenues to start making money with Google AdSense, which we're just starting to play around now with our Free Magic Live channel, and we're starting to get some pretty good results with that. So, but unfortunately, you've got to be a partner to be able to get that activated. There's one way that you can get Google AdSense on an individual video, and that is if one of your videos start doing pretty well, YouTube will actually invite you for just that one video, if I understand it right, to monetize just that one video. So look out for those. Maybe there's one video you want to really optimize and try and get a lot of traffic on so you can get YouTube to invite you to become a partner just for that video. But you need the number of views to become a partner. I think they're looking for like 2,000 to 3,000 views per video on average after about a week before you can become a partner. So I don't think you're quite there yet. It's good to see that you're getting a lot of videos out there. One thing I'd recommend is to for your videos, instead of just using people's names and stuff like that, think about what would people be typing in the search field on YouTube to find your videos and to find your type of content on YouTube. And that will already help you rank much, much better for your videos and get you much more views for your videos, which will in turn drive traffic back to your site, et cetera, et cetera. So that's just one little thing you can do to really help your videos get picked up in YouTube. Because remember, I've just read a report on YouTube statistics, and that part of the website, the search part, is the part that gets used the most. And so if you're not taking advantage of that, then you're missing out on a lot of potential views. So that's just one little tip. But I don't have any other advice for monetizing your site other than what Yara's already said.
Okay, so I think we've covered a lot there anyway. It's probably too much information. So hopefully you can pick something from those ideas and run with it and test it and come back to us with how you went. So Anthony, I'll leave it there. If you want to follow up, please either jump on a live call with us or feel free to, again, post in the forum and either leave a question for the live call or we can converse in the forum itself. Okay, that's it for the forum questions this week. Not too many there, and I don't have any hands raised. So if you do want to ask a question, just press *9 on your telephone dial pad or your Skype pad, and your hand will be raised, and we can answer your question. I noticed in the chat room earlier, a few people were stating there were some issues with Echo or something like that. I'm not sure if that was a problem for everyone. It seemed to be only for a few people, judging by the chat room. And I don't know if that's still an issue. I suggested you maybe turn the audio off on the chat room if you have it on. That can sometimes cause the echo. And also the chat room itself may be causing the echo. So you might want to just test turning it off. Unfortunately, you'd have to not have the chat room running at the same time as the call, but that could be the problem. But so far, everyone else seems to be saying it's good. So I'll leave it I'll assume that's okay. And we'll jump to a next live caller. Here we go.
Darrow, it's Michelle in Melbourne. How are you going?
Hey, Michelle, I'm good. How are you?
All right. I'm just trying to time this with my two-year-old in the background, so I'm sorry if he interferes. I have a question about QuickBank and recurring billing. I had a look about 2 weeks ago, but I'm buggered if I can find it now, but I'm sure I saw that they had as a basic that I think the initial payment could be reasonably high. But then they went on to say that recurring billing would be, I think it was $30 or something like that, unless you sought approval. Do you know anything about that? I can't find it now. I don't know if they've taken down some of their FAQ links, because everything I can find via Google, their old links aren't working. Do you know much about the recurring billing restrictions, and how easy is it to get, you know, allowance to charge more?
Yeah, QuickBank's weird. I'm just getting a bit of echo from your line, Michelle. Do you mind either I'll mute you or can you turn down your speakers?
I'll try. Is that any better?
Let's see. That seems to be better. Yes, thank you. Yeah, QuickBank's a weird one. It still boggles my mind that they're the market leader in a lot of ways, because they seem to do a lot of things really badly, but everyone keeps using them, so we all kind of have to keep using them. There's just not a lot of good options in the marketplace. So, but they do a lot of things well as well. And with this and a lot of things in QuickBank, I haven't noticed consistency across the board. For example, just recently, I had my limits increased on how much I can charge for my products across the board. It doesn't matter if it's recurring or one-time payment. And I had that approval made, and then I could create products, and I didn't require any approval process whatsoever. And that was weird. It was like I was on some sort of A-list, and I'm not sure if it was a mistake or what was happening there. And then Gideon, with his Free Magic Live recent launch, he had to go through the launch process, the approval process to get his product approved, which can take 5 days. Tyrone, who recently did the outsourcing launch, he had the same issue, and he had quite a bit of trouble getting QuickBank to approve his things like price increases and just getting the product approved. So I can't with any confidence tell you what your exact situation is, but what I've seen is you will have a cap at some pricing point. I went from, I can't remember what we had at the beginning, Gideon. Do you remember what our first pricing point was? Was it 150? What's the original QuickBank?
I think when you just get started for recurring, it starts at $50. But then you can contact them and ask them for an increase if you've got good enough reasons. And that's what we did basically, yeah.
Yeah. So, we went to 500 pretty quickly, because I wanted to charge prepaid for Blog Mastermind the first time I switched to QuickBank. So I got approval for an increase to 500. And then when I did the relaunch of Memberships I Mastermind, I wanted to increase to 1,000, and it took a bit of to and froing, but it happened. So long story short, you just have to go through this approval process. And sometimes it takes multiple contacts with QuickBank to get it done. And there's all kinds of things, like they may decide to keep back more money. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but they have a system where they hold back 10% of the money they pay out to you until the refund period is over, which covers them for the refunds.
Yes.
And for example, for me, when they increased my payout limit, the price I could charge per product to $1,000, they increased the money they kept back to 20% to cover the increase there. So they can do all these things, and this is the thing I hate about it. It all depends on who you talk to, what mood they're in, what words you write in the email when you say to them. Like one time I got denied something because I used the wrong word. Instead of using monthly membership something, I used they don't like it when it's a part payment. There's another word for that though. Installments. They don't like there's also this thing as installments, is recurring payments and one-time payments. I wanted to use recurring payments, but I called them installments instead, and they denied me because of that. So, you've got to be careful with these little things like that, and just work within their rules. And if you have to, get them on the phone. I know Gideon's talked to them a lot, and I had to call them for the launch before that of Membership Site Mastermind, because the approval was almost up to the deadline of the actual opening of the program. And it took 2 weeks because I had to go to a higher manager and they weren't responding. And but it happens. As long as you're persistent and keep getting on their back, you can pretty much do what you want eventually.
Okay. Sorry. My son just entered the room. Darling. I have another question. During the launch, there'll be some affiliates who will be able to offer discounts. When you add another product to your QuickBank account, that doesn't have to go through another approval process, does it? Like, because you're really just putting up a different...
You still there, Michelle?
Sorry, I cut that last year. You're really just putting up a different sales price, not changing the sales page. So is that just a matter of doing that in your account once they've approved the initial sales page?
Unfortunately, no. Every time you have a product with a different price, even if it's exactly the same product, you have to get another approval done, unless you've got some magical account that's letting your products be approved automatically, like mine seems to be doing right now. I hope no one from QuickBank's listening. So,
I'm jealous.
Yeah. So whatever, anything changed, this is like one of the limitations, which really kind of bothers us. If you want to create a same product with a different price for whatever reason, you have to create an entire new product within QuickBank, get it approved, and then stick it into the sales page, you know? So, it sucks if you want to do something specific, like a special page just for affiliates, because you have to create an entire product just for them. So often what we do is actually create a unique PayPal link just for an affiliate. If it's just one affiliate promoting and you want to have them offer a discount price or something like that, we'll use a PayPal link for them. And then we'll just know that any orders that come through that particular PayPal link, which has the words flagged, like it'll say Darren Rouse special promotion or something like that. And then we'll know all that money belongs to that affiliate. The downside with that is they don't have any tracking mechanism. They have to email us and we report back how many sales they've made. That's okay as a solution for one affiliate, but you know, if you want to do this for multiple affiliates, it can get quite painful in terms of administration and figuring out how much money you owe to whom and reporting that data back. So that's why we prefer to go through QuickBank, but we're limited by the different pricing points. We just can't easily change price whenever we want to without going through some sort of approval process.
Doesn't sound easy. Because I know QuickBank was something you used more recently, so you still think it's the best solution? Also specifically around a product that's somewhat targeted at internet marketers who may buy through their own links. I'm wondering if you've seen much evidence of that, because, I mean, plenty of people can hop through during the pre-launch, and then when they actually go to pay, they could very likely go through their own link. And I suppose you would have had maybe received feedback about that from someone who said, well, I've had, 100 hops and I've received not one. That's actually happened to me with something. I just wonder if QuickBank could be off-putting for affiliates in that regard as well, given its internet marketing.
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, it is a big advantage to the fact that everyone gets QuickBank because they all use it on a regular basis. So there won't be hesitation. There won't be any resistance points to using it. It's not perfect. You're right. People can buy through their own links. And sometimes, yeah, you get those things where they have so many clicks and no sales. But that happens with any affiliate system. And people can buy through their own link in a lot of different affiliate systems. From my experience, I only have used Butterfly Marketing and One Shopping Cart as alternatives, and of course just a flat-out PayPal link. They both suffered from similar issues, and even worse, I wasn't even sure sometimes whether an affiliate was making a sale when they should have. And the bad thing about that sort of system, the onus kind of rests on you still, in the sense that you're controlling the affiliate payout, where at least with QuickBank, they pay out the money. So you've kind of got this, it's almost like an extra level of credibility and protection because, well, QuickBank's handling that. So you either trust QuickBank or you don't. And most people do. I do. I don't think it's foolproof, but I do trust it beyond a lot of other systems. So, and with One Shopping Cart, I had basically every single month, I had to do a complete audit of all sales, or I didn't do it. My tech person did it, and it cost me a fortune because he spent hours doing it. And that was just to make sure my affiliates were getting the money they should. And that was something I just felt, wow, I shouldn't have to, basically pay out half the profit I'm making each month on these affiliates just to figure out how much money I owe them. So, there's no foolproof system. There isn't a perfect answer to this question yet. And that's that has been, in fact, the biggest frustration we've had as internet marketers. Gideon's always threatening to hire a programming team to develop his ideal system for tracking all this sort of stuff and making it work. But I'm beginning to wonder if it's like it's almost impossible in the sense that it's so many variables to account for. No one's come up with the software that can do it yet. Infusionsoft, that a lot of the biggest players use nowadays, that seems to be a fairly robust solution in terms of the options and the tracking and the different layers you can put people through. But I'm pretty sure, like most systems, you really will need a dedicated tech team to implement it and manage it. So you're still going to have potentially the same issues, but because you're using the best, you've got staff that handle it for you. They can afford to do it. It's justifiable. So you don't find usually any one-man shows or small groups of people just using Infusionsoft because it's a job in itself just to manage it. But this is going to get better. We just think ClickBank right now is the best of not great options. That's the best way to put it.
And pay.com, is that too cumbersome in terms of managing the affiliate payments?
I never used it, but it was sort of based on Butterfly Marketing. It's a Microsoft same product, and I just had so many problems with Butterfly Marketing. I don't think I'd ever want to go to another script created by that software team. I think it's got its pros. It seems to be very good in terms of ClickBank style features, but you're still doing the payouts yourself. You have to pay out the affiliate commissions. It does all the tracking for you. There's a lot of other options too, like Darren and Caroline and quite a few people are using, and Pat as well, are using eJunkie. And I've never used it. It seems extremely simple. I don't know how good it is for tracking, but Darren's paying out his affiliate commissions through that. Pat is, Caroline is. So, it's obviously got some pros as well, and maybe that's a worth checking into.
Okay, I might have a look at that. Thank you.
No problem, Michelle. Thanks for your questions. All right, next caller.
Hi, thanks for doing this and taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm a bit behind on all of this, and I guess my biggest question at the moment is there any way to access videos that were sent from this course earlier? I've switched computers and my old one is gone.
Okay. Rest in peace.
Yes, but the older videos were saved on that computer, and I'm quite a bit behind.
Which course is set for?
Well,
is it the Become a Blogger course or the Blog Mastermind course or the Membership Site Mastermind course?
Become a Blogger. Whatever the first entry level one is for a page.
Okay, if it's Become a Blogger, you can just send us an email at support@becomeablogger.com and just remind us about the issue that you want to have access to the other videos, and we'll make sure we can send you some links to all those other previous videos. But normally, an easier way out is to just look at your latest email with the latest lesson, and on that page, the lesson page, there's a link towards the bottom, just below the video, that if you click on it, it'll open up all the previous links to the previous videos. So just have a look there. It's a little bit hidden. I've learned a lesson there that I shouldn't hide that particular link, but very easy. Let me just make sure I get it right for you. Just log in myself here.
And I'm sorry for asking such a stupid question. I mean, I've tried to find this, and there's no contact button on the top or anything.
Let me just make sure about this for you. Yeah, so say you're on tutorial number 20, for example. If you scroll down a little bit, there's a heading that says previous tutorial videos, and then a link that says click here to expand. And if you click on that, that links back to all the previous videos before that video tutorial 20. So if you're on the last one, if you've made all your payments already, which you probably have, you should be able to get access to all of them when you have the last email. But if you still get stuck, you just send us.
End.
It ends after about 6 months. 6 months from the time that you joined.
Okay.
The formal training part, of course.
But you could still get access, or.
Yeah, for sure. Once you've made all your 6 payments, you get lifetime access to the course and any changes we make, as long as depends on me and Yara, as long as we're in the business. yeah. So once you've paid, you keep access.
Well, again, I'm sorry for asking such a stupid question, but.
No, it's no such thing as a stupid question. Thanks for your question.
Take care.
All right. Take care.
That's an easy one.
Definitely.
Okay. All right. I've got no hands up, so I'll give you guys one more chance to press *9 on your phone pad or your Skype phone dial key. Otherwise, we'll wrap up the call and wish everyone a happy holidays and Merry Christmas if you're doing that, or Happy Hanukkah if you're doing that. Or I'm not sure of the other holidays on around now, so I'll stop. No, don't seem to have any hands up, so that's probably a good time to end the call. It's last one for 2009, so thanks everyone who's joined us. And there's a helicopter flying by right now. I'm not sure if you can hear that.
Yes, you hear that? I can hear it.
Okay. Yeah. they're doing army practice now in Brisbane, so we get a lot of helicopters flying around. Right. So, yeah. So happy holidays, everyone. Thank you for all of you who joined us on the calls this year in 2009. Of course, these will continue in 2010. We'll get some calls up for January very soon. I hope you all got something out of this call. And, of course, any of the calls you joined with us this year. It was a lot of fun. And thank you for participating in our programs. Gideon, thanks, of course, as well for helping out and being my partner in the projects and being so good at what you do on these calls. And hope everyone has a good holiday. That's it from me.
Yeah, thank you, everybody. It's been a real pleasure answering your questions. And as Yara said at the beginning, it's really useful to us to learn about what you need to find out about, because it helps us figure out better how to serve you better and provide information better for you. So it's been a great year. I really appreciated all your questions, and I wish you all the best for the holidays and for the new year coming up.
The recording of this call will be up in a couple of hours after I wrap it up, and you're welcome to download that anytime you like and listen to it again, as well as previous recordings from all the calls we've done. You'll find on the teleconferences page there. So there's so much good content there. It's ridiculous. So I hope you enjoy that. And to wrap it up, I will open the line, as we always do, to end these calls. You guys are welcome to say whatever you like, as long as you keep it clean. So say goodbye, say thank you, tell us where you're from, shout out your website address. Do whatever you like. Happy holidays. And we'll speak to you in 2010. Here we go.
Merry Christmas.
Bye. Happy holidays. Happy New Year.
Happy holidays, Dala.
Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas from Jeffrey Carroll.
Happy holidays.
Buddy.
Happy holidays.
Thanks, you guys.
Thank you very much.
Don't eat too much.
Thank you and happy holidays.
The moderator has disconnected. The call will now end.